Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So, a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Pence, Anomaly, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Scoop Phase for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That is INKEDgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look awesome. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends for this upcoming holiday season. So again, you can head on over to Inked Gaming. That's INKEDgaming.com. Put MTG in Quarantine into the search bar, and every purchase helps support the channel is greatly appreciated. You can find that link in the episode description below. Well, I just got back from MTG Summit in Salt Lake City, Utah last week, and I figured that this would be the perfect opportunity to kind of give a nice little recap of my experience there. So the whole MTG Summit idea was brought together by a couple of friends from over at Kingdoms TV, a channel that does EDH and mostly CDH gameplay over there. Great, great guys. But yeah, they decided that it'd be really awesome to throw a MTG event, a convention, in their hometown of Salt Lake City. And again, with an absolutely stacked creator list and a bunch of events, it looked like a really awesome event, and I wanted to spend the next, 15 to 20 minutes talking about my experience and talking about how awesome it was. So, obviously, it was a three-day convention. I wasn't able to be there all 3 days. I was only there Saturday, Sunday, but again, that didn't ruin my fun at all. So I'm going to kind of talk about some of the things that I did, things that I enjoyed, maybe some of the things that maybe could have been improved a little bit. But again, on the overall, I had a great time. So on Saturday, I was obviously in my Tireless Tracker cosplay. I know that I talk about that an awful lot on this show, but again, it takes work to be a cosplayer. I'm not going to lie. As I mentioned on Twitter the other day, is that it is a real slog sometimes to be a cosplayer because you are wearing a fairly heavy costume. My personal costume requires me wearing a flannel shirt fully buttoned up indoors. And that, over time, the weight of your costume really starts wearing you down. But honestly, as I said on Twitter the other day when I was really starting to recap my experience at Summit, what really makes the cosplaying worth it, and I know I've said this again in multiple episodes, but I'm going to say it again, is that you feel validated when not only do you get to hang out with your fellow cosplayers and your friends, but you also really feel validated whenever someone tells you that they really love your costume, or even just honestly ask you what your costume is, because people really enjoy what you do as a cosplayer. Is that you are showing that you have enough dedication and interest in the game to be able to express your interest and your love of the game through the way you're dressed and the way you act at the convention. And it's really, really cool. And again, I'm going to use this moment to give a shout out to huge cosplay friends, Giraffinette, as well as It's Anna Margaret on Twitter. You can find them at those names particularly. But yeah, again, two great cosplayers to work with, good friends of mine. And again, we had a whole hell of a lot of fun being there at Summit. So again, being in costume for one day, it was hard. I didn't wear the costume the full day of Saturday there because, again, I was getting kind of tired of it, and, it was cold in Salt Lake City, so I figured that, I would eventually want to go take off the costume at some point in the hotel room and go back, which is what I ended up doing. But again, I'm glad that I took my costume to Summit because I was able to not only hang out with my friends, but also, make some people's days by just taking a picture for them, posing with them, just doing whatever I could do to try to make sure that the Kingdom Summit event went off really without a hitch. And I'm glad that I was able to at least participate in helping out the event, even if no one probably knew it was me in the costume. But, I think people really legitimately enjoyed having us there as cosplayers. And again, this is the reason why I just love cosplaying. I love going to conventions. I love showing off my costume. And I love just being there and having fun with my friends. I mean, that's really what the conventions are all about, right? And again, at the top of the show here, I mentioned that there was just an absolutely stacked creator list. I mean, there were so many amazing people there. And again, whether they were the top-of-the-line creators, you know, the very cream-of-the-crop creators, the people with the most follows, the most recognizable content in our sphere, whether it was videos, podcasts, artists, whoever, it was kind of a who's who was there, honestly. And it was just so cool to be in the same room sharing space and honestly playing games with some of these luminaries in our field of content creation. Obviously, I'm, you know, even though you are listening to this podcast, I'm obviously not a huge name in the content creation sphere. And I'm never going to pretend that I am. But again, it was really cool to be able to go up to these people and be able to introduce myself as a content creator, or especially in situations where I've already been in interactions with these people before. Again, I'm going to call out Olivia Gobert-Hicks here on the Rules Committee. I think she's on the Rules Committee now. Again, I've been kind of out of the loop for the last couple of months here, but big ups to her. It was awesome being able to play with her after having played on our stream several times in the last many, many months. And yeah, it was great to, she's awesome to just be able to hang out with, really down to earth. And it was really cool to just be able to hang out with her for a while and just, you know, jam a game. And I really love those opportunities to just be able to see that other content creators out there are also human. You know, it's like we are doing this content creation because we love Magic the Gathering a lot. But again, we're all normal people. And it was really nice to be able to reinforce that concept that everyone who was there was so chill that, you know, they were happy to get in games. The creator clash that was going on, which was something that was actually rather interesting, was that all, so for those who didn't go to the event or don't know the Creator Clash was, a lot of the invited creators were basically tasked with 3-4 hour blocks with playing, I think it was pre-cons, yeah, it was pre-cons, pre-con EDH decks with a bunch of VIP, the people who bought VIP passes for the event would all get a voucher to be able to play in the Creator Clash. So a lot of the creators were out there for 3, 4, 5 hours at a time, playing pre-cons with random strangers. And from my experience, I didn't get a chance to do the Creator Clash, but from my experience and knowing a lot of people who were invited creators and who were doing the content clash, the Creator Clash, excuse me, they were having a whole heck of a lot of fun because, again, the pre-cons were interesting. They were running a lot of the new Brothers War precons, so the new Urza and Mishra decks, as well as just some of the precons from the last year or so. And people were having so much fun just playing precons. And it really, you know, when I go through Twitter and I see all sorts of negativity about play this card, don't play this card, and all that usual crap that I really hate seeing, it was nice to be able to get a change of pace and see people legitimately enjoying just playing precons because you are playing Magic, and I feel like playing Magic with people is far more important than any card choice you could ever make, any deck choice you could ever make. It was basically boiling EDH down to its most basic components, just the enjoyment and the love of the game. And the Creator Clash, again, I wish I'd been able to participate because it looked like a hell of a lot of fun. Maybe next year if I'm able to go to Summit, I will be able to take a part in that. So, yeah, again, it was a really great event, and all the creator friends who I had there were just kept raving about it. I'm going to give a shout out to a bunch of them here. So obviously, and I hope I don't forget anyone, but I'm going to give a shout out to Veggie Wagon, LK, Katie Karloff, Bobby Christine. Oh my God, there's just so many people out there. Anna Thornton was there. Girl named Ron was there. Yeah, a lot of the Birds of Paradise were there. Just a ton of people, and it was really cool to just be able to talk to them about the Creator Clash because they were all just gushing about how that went, and I just see how much they enjoyed playing with random strangers playing these pre-cons because they got a chance to just be able to interact with other people and play Magic, and I just can't say highly enough about how much of a win the Creator Clash was. Moving on to the overall just EDH feel is that it was a little different than other conventions, especially the Command Fest Bellevue that I went to back in, I believe it was July of this year. Yeah, it was July. And obviously that was EDH-focused, so there was a vast majority of people there obviously were playing EDH, and that was very different at Summit because there were several main events whether that was sealed, the 5K sealed, whether that was, I think they had a modern or standard? They had a couple of main events, 5Ks, going on. So there was a whole lot of drafting going on, a whole lot of constructive play going on, and EDH was over in its own area in the Commander Arena. And it was really nice to be able to hang out a lot of the time over the Commander Arena, but also it was kind of a little nice change of pace to also have the ability to go and do some on-demand events. Obviously, I only really had time to do the one Brothers War draft, in which I washed out after the first round. But again, it was nice to be able to kind of have that way to be able to break free from EDH for a little bit, to be able to draft, to be able to do a little bit of limited, because obviously I want to get a little bit better at limited. I'm terrible at it, trust me. And if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, I tell you I'm very terrible at pre-releases, and I mean it. But and drafts in general, I mean I'm really terrible. But I really like just that way that EDH was part of the experience, but didn't necessarily have to be the whole experience. So it was definitely a departure from what I was used to for conventions, where EDH is obviously the most popular format, and I love EDH. It's pretty much all I play. But it was nice to be able to have a little bit of a departure from that, especially since it was Brothers War pre-release weekend and everyone was just cracking packs like crazy. So as far as the Commander Arena was concerned, it was a little difficult to find games, just wandering around because there were so many pods already filled. And again, this was something that the organizers wanted to give you as a player vouchers so you could jump straight into a game to play for prize picks, whether that was high-powered or whether that was CDH. And again, I didn't avail myself of that because I really wanted to go and play with my friends as much as I could, because again, we only see each other every so often. And honestly, I personally feel like I get a whole lot more out of playing in person than playing online. I could play online anytime I want, but the opportunity to play with friends and fellow content creators in person is something you don't get to do a hell of a lot often. So it's something that I really wanted to do. So, trying to find games sometimes was kind of tricky. I didn't get to play nearly as much EDH as I wanted to, but to be fair, I did get a chance to just interact, wander around, and meet people face-to-face who I've interacted with online, but, maybe didn't get a game in with, but at least got that experience to say hi, maybe just talk for a few minutes. There were so many people there who I had never actually met in person before, but I've had on my podcast before, or I've just interacted with just in general. Obviously, Olivia there, Logan, aka Seraph Six, really awesome mod who I did have a chance to have on a couple months ago. Jim Lepage of the Spike Feeders, had him on the podcast a long time ago talking about Major League Commander. Got a chance to, just so many people. Astral's Flame, who I've had on the podcast. Couple of the guys from Playing with Power, Ryan and Cal especially. I even got to meet Charles, my fellow Planeswalker, the Charles the Mono White guy. So Charles, if you're out there listening, big ups, seriously, it was great meeting you, and I hope we'll get a chance to play some CDH here in the future. And just a ton of people. Joseph Johnson was there, aka Black Nito. I had him on there. He's a really cool dude. As well as card alterist, 3D alterist Cthulhu, who I unfortunately haven't had a chance to be on the podcast, or have had on the podcast, but at some point maybe I'll be able to get around to having them on there as well. So just a ton of awesome people, and there are a lot of people I miss too. So it was that kind of event where I got to meet a whole slug of people, and yet it feels like I hardly scratched the surface. That's how many content creators were there. So, I know I'm gushing, but, it is what it is. And it was also really nice to be able to meet a lot of new people there. Again, I was able to run into From the Forge Alters, who, if you go over onto my Twitter page right now, was dressed as a glistening oil salesman. So, obviously, we have the Phyrexian storyline going on right now, and the two of us have a picture of him offering me glistening oil, and I'm about to take it in my Tireless Tracker costume. And it's just a really fun photo right there, and I just really love that kind of effort, coming in, being involved, it's just awesome. I can't say enough about the event. I love these sorts of conventions, and I'm really sad when they're over. It's crazy. But yeah, I got to meet so many people in person. I got to see so many people I hadn't seen for a while. Again, a big shout out to Talia Vess, as well as Light, who also works at Wizards of the Coast. Had a really awesome game with them. The kind of game that I probably won't forget anytime soon, just with how it ended. Yeah, just so many people, so many good vibes, so many good memories. It was absolutely awesome. So anyway, moving on, I obviously did a draft of the Brothers War. I did not do very well. Obviously, I'm not a great limited player. I'm not lying about that. I'm honestly quite terrible at it. I pretty much forced Boros aggro. Didn't quite get where I needed to, but you know, it's okay. It happens. And yeah, so I found some interesting cards that might be useful for my EDH decks going forward. Queen Caleb and Krug pulled that card in the pre-release. Actually did a lot for me in those games. I mean, I didn't exactly get blown out. I just ran out of time against a far slower, but far bigger, far more powerful deck. And the ability to be able to throw pretty much useless cards into the bin every turn and be able to reanimate some small creatures as well as drawing a new hand every turn was just absolutely insane. So the fact I was able to keep up with a deck running very large mechs and a lot of value was really nice. So I feel like that card right there was pretty much the MVP for my deck in that event. Anyway, moving on. Another thing that I really wanted to talk about were the VIP boosters. So I mentioned a few minutes ago that everyone who was at the Commander Arena got vouchers for EDH to be able to play for prize picks. Obviously, there was a prize wall, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. Something that I really enjoyed was the fact that there were the VIP boosters. Everyone who got a VIP pass for the weekend got one of these boosters. It was basically, I think it was 15, maybe 16 cards from Throughout Magic's history, basically seeded as you would have in a normal booster pack, but again, coming from Throughout Magic's history. And I was able, or I was fortunate enough to be able to trade in all of my tickets for my unused vouchers, because I didn't feel like using any of them. And I was able to trade them in not only for a couple of cards, I got a nice foil Path to Exile, as well as a Noble Hierarch. I feel pretty good about that one. A nice Bant card, as well as one of the best removal spells in Magic, which is really nice, and also in foil. But the VIP boosters were the bulk of what I got, and it was really cool to be able to see a repack. Obviously, this is not an endorsed Wizards of the Coast product, but I'm going to just say this right now, and you can quote me on this, is that the VIP booster from MTG Summit was one of the most fun booster pack openings I have ever had. I am not much of a person for cracking packs because, you know, even though I'm terrible at draft, I'd honestly rather draft them or buy the singles that I need for my decks, but not knowing what the heck I was going to see out of those packs just made it so much fun just to flip over every card and just see what it was. Obviously, some of the cards were bulk. You know, the vast majority of them were bulk. A lot of them were cards that I either still have or used to have in my bulk pile. So it was kind of, you know, maybe a little discouraging to see those. But again, even the commons from sets I didn't recognize, or, you know, just commons I had never seen before, was real nice. The fact that I was able to just flip the pack over and go card by card as basically saying, I wonder what this is, I wonder what this is, and flip it over and, oh, read the card. Oh, that's interesting. I mean, just that, it was kind of that booster pack Christmas land, I suppose, if you're fine with that colloquialism, is that you had no idea what you were going to get out of that booster pack. And I really just enjoyed the feeling of exuberance, wondering what my rare was going to be, because it's not going to just be a rare from a specific set. It could be a rare from any set. And again, they did say at Kingdoms that there was a chance of getting some very, very valuable cards, like a Tropical Island, a Jace the Mind Sculptor, etc., etc. Obviously, I figured I wasn't going to pull any of those. I didn't. But I did still pull some interesting cards. I mean, there were definitely some decent cards in there that I've either been missing from my collection or just really cool to see. I pulled a Dig Through Time, which, oddly enough, I didn't have a copy of. is less than a buck, but hey, you know, for being the rare of that pack, it ain't bad. It's really nice to be able to have it. You know, just some useful uncommons. Foil lands were real nice. Both my packs had a foil land in them. Fortunately, they're kind of curled, but, you know, that's just the life of foils these days. Let's see, what else did I get? You know, just some useful cards for various decks. I got a Mythic of Jace, Unraveler of Secrets from Shadows over Innistrad. You know, not a terrible card. And the two cards I'm most proud of pulling out of those packs were actually a Foil Crystal Vein, which is a land where, if you're not familiar with what it does, you tap to add one generic to your mana pool, and if you tap and sacrifice it, you add two generic mana to your mana pool. Definitely a CDH card, something I could be running. I'm not running in my Godo deck, but I could run. And the card I'm really most excited about is actually a... Was this a common? Yeah, it was Lightning Bolt from M11. I mean, you know, it may be worth a buck, but the fact that I got to pull a copy of one of Magic's most famous cards, or most infamous cards, if you want to look at it that way, was really cool. And I actually saved the booster pack wrapper for one of the packs, and I'm looking at it right now while I'm recording this. And it's just so cool to see this custom theme pack that they did. I mean, not only did Kingdoms put on this whole event, but they even did their own booster packs. I mean, words cannot explain how awesome that is. So again, another huge shout out to the Kingdoms crew for pulling this off, because I really thought the VIP booster was an amazing experience. I got at least 10 minutes of enjoyment value just out of two booster packs, and you really don't get that kind of enjoyment out of regular booster packs anymore. Maybe collector boosters, I've never opened one, but honestly, for just being kind of a ho-hum pack, I suppose, you know, not being a premium product, honestly, I will say again, this is probably one of the most fun experience I've ever had opening booster packs. Probably, you know, on the level of fun I had when I was opening a bunch of mystery boosters for the first time, or when I was doing my Double Masters drafts, Double Masters 2022 drafts anyway, this past year. Those are definitely my top three booster pack opening experiences, just because you don't know what you're gonna get. I love just not knowing what you're getting into until you get there. It's part of the reason why I don't really pay attention to previews all that much. And it's because I want to be surprised. And it's really what I enjoy. I just want to see the cards for the first time and have that, whoa, what does that do? Cool reaction. Because I really enjoy that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, and so just in general, it was a very nice open space. There was room for the customers to be able to get pictures. They had a very interesting background there, kind of the little jungle set, I suppose, with a very, very nice-looking artisanal Black Lotus 3D design just sitting on a pedestal there. And I noticed people were getting a lot of pictures there of that over the weekend, including some with the cosplayers. And it was really cool to be able to see that because, again, I've never been to an event where we really have a Magic theme background. It's not something that we normally have at events, but it was so cool to see that. And again, there was just so much stuff that was going on everywhere that it was nice to be able to check in with my friends, but also be able to go over, you know, check out the vendors, check out the artist stands, and then just be able to walk back over to the She Sparks booth, hang out with my friends there, play a couple of games there, then wander over the on-demand area, go get some food, and then come back. It was really nice to be able to kind of go into different areas. You know, obviously, a lot of people have talked about how the event was struggling, and I mean, I get that. It was the first time they pulled it off. Before being a first-time event host, I cannot say how well a job Kingdoms did with this event. It was so awesome seeing it pulled off. And, you know, it basically demonstrates how much of Magic really is the Gathering. Is that we as the fans, even if Wizards of the Coast or Hasbro potentially have, you know, issues with the game or just keep cranking out product, it's the fact that we as the fans have the ability to pull off these sorts of events that are fairly successful. And it's just really cool to demonstrate how we as the fans are able to just take this game that's just a bunch of pieces of cardboard and turn it into the biggest social event that we look forward to months and years in advance. Like, these are the reasons that we play Magic, and we just have fun. And yeah, so I'm just going to give another shout out to a lot of the awesome people who I got to see there, who I haven't mentioned before. Again, I apologize for not mentioning everybody, because again, there are just so many people there that I unfortunately forget the people who were there until I start looking at the pictures. So now that I have the pictures pulled up here, I also got a chance to hang out with Bert from the Scrap Trawler Zero Games, Ms. Eldritch, as well as finally got to meet Alec from the Fairy Conclave podcast. We all got to hang out, got a game in, got my ass handed to me, but that's okay. You know, it's EDH for you. It happens. And it was just really awesome to be able to see them there. Yeah, just so, so many people. And I really can't say enough good things about this event. I was able to see other folks who I unfortunately wasn't able to say hi to, but I did see them around. The guys from the EDH Rec cast fall into that category. I didn't get a chance to play a game with them, but again, I did get a chance to at least, you know, wander around and see a whole bunch of people who I've, you know, seen around on the internet. So obviously didn't get a chance to play with them because I wasn't there the third day, which would have really helped. Being there Friday would have helped immensely to really just get around and network as a content creator. But the fact is that I handed out so many of my custom token cards to fellow content creators, just, you know, networking. And a lot of them recognized me. That was the really cool thing. As soon as I said MJ from MTG in quarantine, just, whoa, cool, nice to meet you. And honestly, that right there is really what made that part worth it. I was not an invited content creator, but again, I wasn't just some random stranger going in there. People knew what I was bringing to the table. People recognized the logo, and just people recognized me. And that was so cool and so validating as a content creator. I feel like it's not necessary to have to validate yourself this way, but it's really cool to know that people are at least paying attention and know that you're contributing in your own way to the Magic content verse. And to really get that kind of a response from others is amazing. I cannot tell you how awesome it feels to immediately be in the crowd. Even if you don't know some of these people, as soon as you say who you are, the fact that, you know, all of a sudden that ice is broken and immediately you're all friends. That is what is so cool about these sorts of events. And honestly, I'm going to just say that, you know, if Kingdoms is going to do Summit again next year, I heard rumors that they might try to do it again. I'm definitely going to try to be there. So, yeah, that was my quick 30-minute recap of MTG Summit. I hope you enjoyed it. And if there is a Summit 2023 event, I hope I can meet some of you out there in Salt Lake City next year. So, yeah. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. I'd like to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Frugal Brutal, Coach J-Ro, Scoop Phase, and Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And if you're interested in checking out some of my photos from the event, excuse me, you can find those on Twitter at MTGinQuarantine. If you find the happy-looking Ulamog wearing bare headphones, you found the right place. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.